Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang Podcast, episode 136. I'm Steve Borsch, and I am on with Tim Elliott.
It's good to be back on the air.
And Phil Wilson.
Are we on the air or are we on the ether?
Well, we're something.
We're on the MP3.
We're on something. There we go. Okay.
There we are.
And our buddy Graham is actually not able to be with us this weekend. So
He's up north.
He's fooling around.
Up north.
Yeah. Yeah, his wife does something with...
She does art shows and things like that, or craft shows. Or
yeah.
That sort of stuff.
So. Yeah, and he helps out. I'm sure he's the gopher.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of yes-deering going on. I can tell you that right now.
Well, so we've taken a bit of a break toward the ends of summer, and we're all back at it. And I don't know about you guys, but it's just amazing. Remember how we talked about at the beginning of the summer how this summer was really atypical in terms of all the announcements happening in tech and so forth? And, you know, right after Labor Day, typically things change, but it's as though everything's accelerated now even faster.
It is kind of crazy. Yeah. It's and that's both on a national and a local level. So there's lots going on. It's always good to see.
Well, yeah, it was great. Graham posted that video about his interview with the runner up, but he went to the Minnesota Cup final adventure. Again, you know, Scott Littman said, and you had mentioned this earlier, Phil, tech.mn started a tech.mn TV and interviewed Scott Littman. And one of the things Scott said was the quality of the Minnesota Cup participants has really gone up. He said, in fact, you know, runners up in the past would have absolutely won because the quality has gone up dramatically.
That's great. That's great.
It is great. So who was the winner this year?
Company called Naiku, N-A-I-K-U, education related, classroom assessment tools and so forth. Really well done, very well baked. And so
and it was, AUM Cardiovascular actually won the whole grand shooting match. What else has been happening? You know, on the national level, we've had a ton of things going on. You know, with Google, in the time that we've been off, Google has started to chip away at owning the world. They bought Zagat or whatever you want to say.
I think it's Zagat. Yeah,
Zagat. They bought Motorola Mobility. Now they're just kind of moving on to probably third world nations. I think they're just going to start buying people. So.
Well, as long as they don't get into the whole control data thing, if you guys remember control data and how the CEO Bill Norris was, you know, plowing all this money into Plato and he was involved in all these social good sorts of projects and that, and really took his eye off the ball. Mm-hmm. And boy, you know, with Google getting involved in energy and self-driving cars and all kinds of things, I just wonder if they're spreading themselves too thin.
It seems since Larry Page took over as CEO that they're kind of getting a lot more focused. They're cutting a lot of their, you know, labs, projects, and other side ventures.
Right, right.
And it's interesting that they bought Zagat because, you know, that's content. And I can see why they'd want to buy Motorola that kind of end-to-end solution like Apple does.
But, and the patents, right?
Yeah, and the patents too. Yeah, but Zagat is an interesting acquisition. So I'm not sure where they're headed on that. You know, obviously that's location based stuff and user based reviews and that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that.
Well, and it's gonna raise some eyebrows as far as a regulatory situation because now they're not only providing the stream of content, but they're providing the content itself. So or could be conceived. And, you know, providing the content itself. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I think Steve brings up a very interesting point that their bread and butter is search and that's all there is to it. And as long as they continue to progress and provide that, I think we're going to see Google still printing money.
Well, it's advertising, actually. So it's search is their way to deliver
to advertise. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But one of the things that I thought was really, really interesting was that Google joined the Minnesota High Tech Association. And they really indicated in a statement last week that, you know, this doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that they're going to build a big office here or anything like that. But, you know, people are kind of speculating about what's behind that or what have they got up their sleeve. But if you guys remember, well, but there's that.
That's what they've got up their sleeve.
Well, if you remember, though, in 2010, they released a statement that said that they'd provided more than $1 billion in economic activity for Minnesota businesses. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of interesting. But I'm gonna try to find this study here. But they also released, Google did, also released something this past week, about 25% of small businesses in the state of Minnesota have zero web presence. None. Mm-hmm. They're just not online at all. And boy, I tell you what, if we could change that, how dramatic that would be if everybody was in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, Google is actually doing a lot of workshops. If you listen to, and I know you guys don't listen to that old timey radio much anymore, but they are doing, you know, advertising workshops throughout the Twin Cities to learn more about Google and things like that. So there's definitely a more of a drive to be a local force. And they've tried that in different angles before in the past. There was the ability to purchase, local advertising on air through Google at one point in time. They abandoned that fairly quickly, but I just think they're trying to pick target markets and build their local presence.
Well, and you know, the University of Minnesota is a Google Apps user.
Uh-huh. Did not know that.
Yeah, so that was a big one.
Very cool. On the other side, Apple, the other of the two towers, Apple is doing some big things. Whether they're good, whether they're bad, I don't know how you feel about it. But of course, with Steve Jobs retiring, And I don't know if anybody, did you guys see that picture of him that was released? Not looking good. Steve is not looking good. It's just terrible.
Well, he hasn't looked good for a while. So I'm not sure if that means that he's getting worse or if the prognosis is more the same. At some point, he had to give up the CEO title.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But we've got iPhone 5 coming out everywhere. I'm giddy as a schoolgirl.
even on Sprint.
Yikes. Even on Sprint, ladies and gentlemen. So
I'm not sure about T-Mobile, but Sprint.
Well, and the rumor is that Sprint is going to differentiate themselves by going to unlimited data on the iPhone 5.
Well, they've always done the unlimited data package. I've got that on my Evo. So that's always there. It always has been there. And they've hung their hat on that in the last year. And I think that agreed, if you're going to differentiate yourself, you're going to have to do something like that. It's not, Sprint's network isn't it's still not as good as Verizon. So I think that's a good point of differentiation for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if they could work on their service a little bit, I'd be happy with that.
Right. Right.
And also, I don't know if you guys saw this, that they won the lawsuit in Germany against Samsung. Yeah. So there's a ban on Samsung tabs in Germany. So
yeah, you can't even show them there, which is kind of funny.
Right.
It's really strange.
But they had a trade show and they made them take the new ones off the show floor.
Yike.
I mean, they weren't this announced. They weren't available anywhere. So that's pretty.
Of course, they will appeal.
Hardcore.
So,
yeah.
But there's still the rest of the EU left. So.
Yeah, no, that whole case is going to take years to figure itself out.
Yeah. But again, what it does is it just puts fear, uncertainty, and doubt in people's mind. And that FUD keeps people from buying.
Yeah.
And that's the intent. I mean, a lot of times that's the intent with using patents as a defensive weapon when you're in battle for markets and stuff.
Well, while we were away, we finally figured out how to compete with Apple's iPad, and that's dump $100 touchpads on
that. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So you can lose $200 per device, and you can actually you know, create a lot of demand for your product.
Well, that's not surprising. I mean, yes, it's a tablet that's going to be out of production here soon, as soon as they use up all the parts. But which kind of makes me wonder is, could you get a tablet from HP that's got maybe a few things missing because they just ran out of some of the parts, or will they only put completed ones out there? But I think, we've talked about this before many times, that the way to counter Apple's dominance of the tablet space is to come up with an economical tablet, something that is a little less expensive. And, well, that's just, $99 is obviously the other end of the spectrum, but that's what it's going to take.
What's interesting is that Barnes & Noble has carved out sort of the low end with their Nook Color, which is, kind of an e-reader, but you can root it and turn it into just a plain Android tablet. And $250 seems to be that price point that people say, that's interesting. It's, half the price of the entry-level iPad.
Right.
And that's apparently where Amazon is going. And they're going with, a strategy which is a radical user interface on top of Android. So it won't look like Android. It'll be a full Amazon experience. So I think that strategy, and especially if they come in at the $250, which is reportedly what the price is, a lot of people are going to buy those.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So even if it is 7 inches.
That's the secret sauce. That's the secret sauce, yeah.
Yeah, so that I think everybody else can only compete on price.
Yeah, but I remember I had a sales manager when I was in my 20s. Who I just hammered on to get a better price for this one particular program we were doing at Target, and I was trying to get something in the planogram, so on an ad, because then you can make a bazillion dollars. And he just said, "No, we can't. We can't make any money if we offer it at that price." And I said, "Yeah, but I mean, we'll make a little bit of money, and look at how many we'll get in, and it'll be the first part of the program and all of that." And he looked at me and he said, "Borsch, anybody can sell on price. But if you can't sell on value, then nobody makes any money and it's not a win-win."
Well, the problem seems to be that Apple has done such a good job of
supply chain.
The supply chain.
Yep.
And that's all, Tim Cook pretty much, that's his forte. So they're going to continue to dominate because they own the best price on all the components.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna compete, and there's been some articles recently about, all these MacBook Air clones that are coming out now, and how most of them are more money than the MacBook Airs are, and so people, right. Windows people are buying MacBook Air and just running boot camp to run Windows on the thing.
Yeah,
So I mean, when people are doing
just
that,
bizarre.
Know that they have control over the supply chain, and that's how they're competing. And yes, they've got good taste and really good design and all that good stuff too. So it's not all just about design and building great products. It's about, that supply chain.
Yep.
And getting the best component prices.
I still think I was having a conversation with some guys over at Magenic yesterday, and we were talking about the iPad, and I still believe that the success, the heart of the success, yes, it's a good, they're all good machines, but the heart of success of Apple is design. They know how to make a sexy looking unit, no matter what it is, whether that's the laptop, whether it's the iPhone, they just know how to make a good looking and an easy to use device. So I think the success of Apple, really, the design aspect of Apple can't be understated.
So
does anybody agree or disagree?
I agree with
you. Absolutely.
Design, especially in the latest era, the last, 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
Since Johnny Ive has been there, has been, that has been one of their differentiators, but a lot of people think that's all it is. No, it's, they really come up with some really well engineered products, and they have the best prices now to put those things together so they can actually be the price leader, which is crazy.
Well, and the thing that I love about reading articles about design and app, when they bring up Apple and talk about Apple, is the one thing that they keep bringing up again and again and again is that the magic is all about what's left out, not what's put in. And I think about that a lot as I look at process, or I look at sites we're developing, or anything, is do you try to cram everything in, or do you try to figure out what you can leave out and just get to the essence of something?
Yeah, no, I mean, they certainly have good taste in doing that, but they also leave stuff out so they can sell you a new model next year.
Yeah, right.
I mean, look at the iPad is a great example of that, right? So the first one comes out, it doesn't have certain features that people thought it should have, like cameras, right? So yikes, the iPad 2 comes out and it has cameras. Now people are, you know, saying, hey, it would be great if this had a higher resolution screen. You know, guess what? I bet the next one has a higher resolution screen. So their ability to leave stuff out that people want, and then that, you know, that just gets them to the next sale, the next year, gets
right.
people to upgrade. And it's been true of with the iPhone too.
I forgot to tell you one of the other big earth-shattering things that happened while we were off on our break. I forgot to tell, and it's really too bad Graham's not here because he would give me a rash and a grief. I got myself an iPad too.
You did.
Oh, that's right.
Oh man, hell froze over.
Hell froze over. You know, we've talked about, you know, how, you know, it's easy to get caught up in everything that's shiny and new, and you want to go after things. But I really wanted to see. I kept waiting for this. You know, what's going to be better than the iPad to get into the tablet? And I just kept waiting. And it's become evidently clear that I would be waiting for a long time to come up with something better in a tablet than the iPad right now. So I took the plunge.
That's good. So I'll be the only Android guy, I guess.
Are you going to wait for an Android tablet?
Well, yeah, either that or I'll get an iPad too. No, I'm going to see what happens here this holiday season. And Amazon is the vendor that will probably get me to jump. Okay. Into the Android pool. So yeah. Android, we'll see. I really haven't seen anything else that's been compelling. And Android on a tablet is really pretty rough at this stage. Mm-hmm. There's no finesse. There's very few apps. Even the Honeycomb tablets are not quite fully baked. So it's not necessarily the hardware's fault. It's really the software isn't. Competitive yet.
Yeah. Speaking of Android, I can tell you that when I upgraded to what's the is it Gingerbread right now? The one that's Gingerbread.
Yeah, the currently shipping one is Gingerbread for phones, yes.
You know, when I upgraded to Gingerbread on my Evo, my phone became so incredibly buggy and slow.
Really?
And it still is. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Mm. I'm just and very, you know, they've since sent off an update that took care of some of the issues, but it was like, my God, you know, if you're going to update something, you really shouldn't all of a sudden have to worry about, you know, a text message prompt always showing up in your, in your toolbar. And it's just like, what's going on here? So, I'm sure they'll work the bugs out, but that's the downside of an open source, I guess.
But didn't you also say, Phil, that it was all the crud software that was put on there by the vendor?
That's the problem with Android. And well, I don't know what it's like for you, Tim, but we've talked about it in the past. The bloatware that comes with the phone is just stuff that you just can't take off unless you root the device. So
that's how I deal with it.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy. There's crap on there I'll never use and I can't take it off. So
well, the thing for me, the thing that made me root my phone was that battery life was so bad. And it, you know, I run a one of those process killing applications, and even if you run that, you still had bad battery because you had all of these things running in the background that you had to constantly kill. So after I rooted and was able to get rid of everything that I didn't use, I'm finding that battery life is much better because it's not running those background processes.
Oh, interesting. Well, you know what's fascinating? I have only had one app on the iPhone that killed battery, and that's the Nike app, and you can run it so it runs GPS, and it also
Wait a minute, why the hell did you have the Nike app on there?
Well, because when Michelle and I go out, we walk for an hour every day.
Oh, okay. I thought to draw the implication that maybe you were a runner.
Well, I used to be 5 to 6 miles a day, baby.
Not until anybody chases you will you.
That's right. That's right. But if I forgot to kill the app afterwards, it would keep running, and it just sucked battery because it was, you know, obviously maxing out the processor the whole time. But other than that, it's been great.
It's probably also going to get your GPS coordinates.
Exactly. Precisely.
So yeah. That's probably why the battery was going down.
Yeah, because it probably pinged it every, you know, 15 seconds or something.
Mm-hmm. Al, listen, one more thing on Apple, guys, and I just caught this myself, that the Adobe has announced a new FLAC media server. Did you see this?
Yes, and many people are positioning it as Adobe Blinked.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think this is a big deal because, you know...
It is a big deal.
I on the one hand, even though John Gruber from Daring Fireball, who's a Apple analyst and blogger, talked about how it would have been nice if Adobe would have deprecated from HTML5 to Flash instead of the other way around. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, if you've got Flash installed, it'll ask you, even with Safari on the Mac, it'll ask you if you want to install Flash. So rather than deliver HTML5, it'll first prompt you to load Flash. And if they'd done it the other way around, where if you have Flash, it'll just play the video, no big deal. And if you don't, it'll just deliver the HTML5 as the preferred way to do it. Because that's actually how most of the services, Vidler, Vimeo, YouTube, everybody else is doing it. It's HTML5 first. And if you don't have a modern browser or an iOS device, it'll deprecate to Flash and then deliver that. And I thought that was interesting. But, you know, the other thing, and this kind of bugs the crap out of me, is they have this digital publishing suite, which is going to support iOS 5 Newsstand, which is the, you know, the new magazine and publication, iBook, if you will, that'll come out in iOS 5. And I bought InDesign 5 because we use it for our business. We bought several copies. And the InDesign 5.5 came out maybe a month later. And they said, oh, sorry, you're past the month window. You have to pay another upgrade fee. It's like, what? So I just, honest to God, or when I do migrations from Mac to Mac, if I buy a new Mac and I do a migration, you have to deauthorize Adobe apps on one Mac before you make a change. Otherwise, it won't run, and you've got to call tech support and be on tech support, and they've got to allow you to authorize the app on the new machine. And Adobe is the only software that I have on my machines that every single time I buy a new machine or if I reinstall an operating system, the stuff just doesn't work. I have to reinstall it. It just, oh my God. Talk about bloatware.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about the rant.
So you went off on a rant there, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, okay. I know.
That's all right. So, and I guess the other big news was in the last week or so was Arrington leaving TechCrunch. So,
yeah. I don't know. And you know, who cares?
Well, what did they buy then?
He does.
I don't see what AOL was buying.
I know, isn't it weird?
That whole blog is Mike Arrington and his merry band of renegades.
Right.
And without him, there's going to be no M.G. Siegler and other top writers. All those guys are going to leave.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like what happened to Engadget. Where all of the entire staff basically left, and they're now starting up The Verge. They did fill in with people that were involved in Engadget in some minor ways. But it's not the same kind of blog as it was before. No. You know, it's somewhat diminished. Every time that Engadget has gone through an editorial change like that, which they have gone through a few times, it's been diminished as a blog.
Yep.
So I don't see why they bought TechCrunch then. If they didn't want to deal with Mike Arrington's crap, they shouldn't have ever bought that blog.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a total waste of money. And Arrington's going to go off and he's going to start some other site. And he's going to do the same thing again.
Well, he probably has a non-compete. I mean, if they paid him all that money and he can't poach people and they probably can't join him for X amount of time. So I'm sure there are, you know, a fair amount of controls in there. But yeah, I mean, he is going to go do his own thing.
Yeah, no, I think AOL is doomed, and I also think Yahoo is doomed. I mean, what's the board doing kicking out Carol Bartz?
Well, and I don't know if you've read this, but there's a rumor that AOL and Yahoo are going to merge.
Oh, that's great. I'd like to see that happen, because then the combined company can die a horrible, fast death.
Exactly. Yeah, the flames will be much brighter as they burn up.
Stupid. Take two companies without great business models, put them together, and what happens?
Yeah. You know?
get a really big company without great business models.
Right. And that really big company will run out of money faster. So.
Yep.
Yeah, amazing. Both of those have got to figure out what they're going to do. And it's, you know, Yahoo has been up and down and around. And I think of the two, they're too far gone. I don't think there's any way to save them. AOL, if, you know, they built up a lot of content deals, but their approach is not keeping their talent, you know, as evidenced by what happened on Engadget and now at TechCrunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing today, Tim. Actually, I'm going to be joining you down there a little bit later as well. You're headed off to the Minnesota Bloggers Conference, right?
Yeah. I'm missing the keynote right now. Hopefully, after we're done, I'll jet down there and catch the next.
You have a jet now?
Well, no. I'll jet down with my car to I'm only half an hour away here, so I should get there by the session time. They've got a lot of good sessions.
I'll be one of them.
I'll be talking about. Actually, I'm two of them.
Ooh.
But one of them is sort of a casual, you know, no prep, just people come in and ask me questions sort of thing. That's at 1:30, and that's just on WordPress. And then the other one is moving your blog to WordPress from another platform. So I'm going to talk about that for about an hour.
Awesome.
Yeah,
this is the second annual event. Am I right? I believe.
Yeah, the first event was very successful last year. And what surprised me was, you know, you think that you know a lot of people in town, and especially a lot of bloggers, and you go to these things, and yeah, I pretty much know all the speakers here, but I didn't know, you know, 70% of the people that were there. And if you watch the hashtag on Twitter, which is MNBlogCon. A lot of these people I don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. There's just a lot of Minnesota bloggers doing all sorts of different things. Well, I think we're just so locked in this tech and social media thing that we just don't.
There's tons going on out there. Yeah.
We don't appreciate that. So it's great that we have these kinds of events that pull people together.
Let's talk about some other upcoming events too, guys. Let's see what we got coming up on the 20th. We've got Mobile Twin Cities. Of course, Justin and his group of Mobile Lights, that's happening Thursday, the 22nd, WordPress MSP, right, Tim?
Yep. It's the regular monthly meeting.
And Saturday, September 24th, She's Geeky Unconference.
What's that about?
Yeah, where did you grab that one, Steve? I'm sorry, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, it's a woman I follow on Twitter wrote about it. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Ooh, that's wonderful.
She's geeky. Sounds like she's geeky.org.
So is it like, what is that, blog her sort of thing?
Yeah,
local version?
Yep, it's the same. It's for women working in technology and other geeky fields like science, engineering, and math. So I'll put a link in the show notes. It sounds really interesting. I can't go cause my dresses are at the cleaners. So, and hopefully no, they'd probably let women in. So,
or you can wear your kilt though.
I hope they let women in.
That's what I would wear, a kilt.
There you go.
Wear a kilt. Good for you. That's the most macho way of doing things. So, since Tim has got a gig coming up, we probably ought to make this one a short one, but we will join you next week again, and we'll catch up with what's going on in tech and innovation.
Hopefully.
Am I right?
Graham. Hopefully with Graham.
Yeah.
Graham will be back. Actually, Graham's going to be at demo, or isn't he? Or is it?
Oh, that's right. Yes, he is. Yeah. Yes, he is.
So, but he is planning on joining us. So,
great.
We'll definitely do that. So,
all right. And thanks for listening, everyone.
We'll see you next week on the Minute of Eight Gang podcast.
Sounds great.
Yep.
Take care.